opera writers could compose a devotional, it might sound as sudsy as this. Are you soft soaping God about your text-sized problems? Along with the tide, veil your cheer up and have no real joy. The dove of the peace is sending an SOS to all. The trend is to breeze to church regularly on Sabbath mornings, but too many would bury their heads in a pillow of work in the yard like Handy Andy, forgetting the Lord's day is time for less toil. Don't trust your looks or wait for us to dial you and remind you of those ivory plate palaces up in yonder. This is not just idle babble. Worship will add to your life, boy. So whisk yourself out of bed Sabbath morning, dress up spick and span, dash like a comet to God's house. You will feel as fantastic as Irish spring and will have new zest and pride for conscience if you make this pledge. You too can be Mr. Clean. More than detergents are needed, however. The kind of filth that has soiled our souls demands some new miracle cleanser that Procter & Gamble or Madison Avenue does not have. Preaching to people has become more and more challenging because sometimes when you preach, people are distracted looking at who's presenting the message more than the message itself. And sometimes for a preacher, it could be quite intimidating because not everybody is here looking for God. Some people are in church based on routines. Some people attend church because they're being forced to attend church. One of the symptoms of a soiled soul is unforgiveness. In Matthew 18, verse 35, Jesus insisted that we must forgive our brother or sister from our heart. So is forgiveness based on emotions or a choice that we are called to make? A choice that even when our flesh don't feel like it, that we still have a choice that we can forgive. Back in December, I was talking to a sister who told me that when she dies at her funeral, she don't want this particular person at her funeral. So while talking to her, trying to gently rebuke her, I said, you shouldn't talk like this as a child of God. And in my thought, I was like, when you die, who's gonna tell you who's at your funeral? Listen, just like most of you, I grew up in a broken home. And as I'm learning more and more about my family, I realize we have a lot of unresolved issues. And this sin-filled world keeping us in bondage. And one of the issues, just like we refuse to come to God to be healed. And one of the cause of our brokenness is unforgiveness. The more I talk, the more I learn about my family. Like, you know, I'm learning more about like talking to my grandmother, talking to my mother. And I think I may have shared this before, but now that I've learned, I've gained knowledge, I forgive my mother for the things that she put me through because now I'm learning she herself had a similar experience. Amen. And the biggest struggle is that she never healed from hers. Amen. I don't know how I would react in some situation, but we know the Bible tells us that we have to forgive as Christians. It's not whether or not you want to forgive. Besides, doesn't God's word tell us like forgive as you have been forgiven? And doesn't it also say like if we refuse to forgive, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us? As Christians, we are acquainted with God's word. And we know that we must forgive others. not just because God commands it, because it is the right thing to do. Let us pray. Father, as we look to you now, we understand this is a difficult saying. You never do anything out of chance. There's a reason why, Lord, things happen the way they happen today. Somebody needs to hear this. Many of us, we have been struggling, Lord, with harboring unforgiveness in our hearts. But yet we present ourselves in your house to worship you. How can we worship when our hearts are not right? So please, Father, as we speak, let not me speak. For you know Steve could mess things up. I'm praying as we open your word, that your spirit may speak to us. And I pray, oh God, that you extend grace upon us. So that way, your Lord, we may be able to do what only you by your grace could help us to do. So as I put my fish and my loaves in your hands, I'm asking, oh God, that you may bless it. Let it be what it needs to be. So at the conclusion of our talk, somebody may go away blessed, renewed, and transformed. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. So one of my favorite warnings in scripture is Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And it reads, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Another version says that my people are destroyed because they have rejected knowledge. Sometimes we deliberately reject a word or warning that God sends to us because we are blinded often by our own pride. That is why preaching in certain settings could be extremely difficult. We could be distracted by the vessel rather than the content that God is sending. Sometimes a preacher is intimidated by various things too. Sometimes, like Jonah, we know that God is excited and God wants to save. This morning in Sabbath school, Brother Lindvall was like teaching and leading the class. And one of the things that he talked about, the book of Psalm, you see repeatedly, is the God of my salvation. God wants to give each of us salvation. But the challenge is we have another force keeping us from accepting God's salvation to us. We know that when Jonah went to preach, his thing was like, he went the other way. By the way, the title, are you ready for this? The title of this meditation is called, I'd Rather Die. I'd rather die instead of forgive. That is some people's story. They say they'd rather die instead of forgiving that particular person. They find that offense too heavy, too much, too deep, that they would rather die instead of forgiving that person. This week, I was talking to somebody who was going through something and she was confused and hurt, understandably. She said, I will never forgive that person. And I said, like, be careful. We shouldn't talk like this. I know sometimes it's hard to forgive people. Me talking to you, I don't know what situation I may find myself in that I may be hard for me to forgive. But the truth, however, is by God's grace, as long as I abide in Christ and the Spirit dwells in me, I'm willing to forgive. It may take a minute for things to coincide, to catch up, but I know I don't have the right to hold somebody. I have to forgive no matter what it is. Sometimes the biggest challenge for us when we are trying to bring the message to others is the fact that we first refuse to go to God and allow God to do the work that is needed in us. Sometimes we refuse to listen to reason. Maybe you don't speak the words, I'd rather die instead of forgiving somebody, but maybe your action proves that you do anything but forgive that person. Jonah was excited to go the opposite direction instead of preaching the message of salvation to the Ninevites. What about us? When God is calling us to do something, do we run in the opposite direction as well? Our text of meditation is found in Matthew 18. I want you to open your Bible with me. Matthew 18, verse 35. As a matter of fact, we'll start from verse 21. It's a common, it's a familiar passage from the Bible. It's the parable of the unforgiven servant. So I'll be reading in your hearing, starting with verse 21 of Matthew 18. And it reads, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me that I should forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle account with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made.'" Pause for a second. Ask yourself, this man owed that kind of money. In several lifetimes, he would never be able to pay that amount. But when you put him in jail, what opportunity will he have to even repay the amount? Unless somebody comes to his rescue, if he has a rich person who could pay the debt for him. Let us continue on. Verse 26. "The servant therefore fell before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave the debt. But that servant went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe me.' Such is his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till the debt should be paid." Let's pause for a second. He has just been forgiven. He should be rejoicing. Now he goes out immediately after being forgiven and meet somebody who owed him significantly less. Hang with me. I'll tell you the difference in a minute. But yet, he would not show the same kindness, the same kind of mercy to his fellow servant. Verse 31. "So when his fellow servants saw that what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgive you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers that he should repay all that was due him." Typically, when people are talking about forgiveness or unforgiveness, this is one of their favorite passages to go to. But today I want to take you to the Old Testament and to show you a different side about what true forgiveness looks like. So let us go to Genesis 50. This is the story of Joseph and his brothers. This is one of my favorite Bible examples from the Old Testament of what true forgiveness looks like. So in Genesis chapter 50, it tells us from verses 17 through 21. I read in your hearing. "Thus you should say to Joseph, 'Now the brothers are concocting a plan because their father had died, and they were afraid Joseph was going to seek revenge. So they made up a story to tell them to forgive, to ask, instead of going directly and asking Joseph for forgiveness, they made up a story saying, like, your father told us that you should forgive us. So verse 17 of Genesis 50 says, thus you should say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring out, as it has this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid, for I will provide for you and your little ones, and be comforted. Then he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So in the story of Joseph and his brothers, three things I want to point out. Number one, forgiveness does not bring people into the matter who have nothing to do with the matter. Sometimes before we forgive somebody, we're trying to bring people in it who has nothing to do with it. In the example of Joseph, we see Joseph settling the issue, his differences with his brothers alone. Going back to Genesis 45, when Joseph, when he revealed himself to his brothers, he ordered everybody out the room. So it remained just him and his brothers. Then he told his brothers who he was. To their shock, they didn't know. They didn't know what to say because they didn't recognize him. So first thing, forgiveness does not bring people into it who does not belong to it. The Bible tells us that God keeps providing us opportunity for reconciliation between us, whoever the offender is. God sent messages after messages, people after people, sign after signs. Today, again, God is providing another opportunity to somebody in the building to let go and be reconciled and be healed and forgive. Micah 7:19 says, once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. Ezekiel 18:20-23 says, I, the Lord, don't like to see the wicked people die. I'd much rather see them turn from their sins and live. Amen. Joseph said to his brothers, please come close to me. The Bible tells us, okay, when there's an issue between you and somebody, you go to that person first. And trying to remedy, reconcile with your brother. And mind you, the Bible said when somebody has something against you, even if you are not the offender, God is telling us to go to that person, trying to seek out our brother, because this is exactly what God did for us. Number two, forgiveness makes the offender feel at ease. Not sure that's easy in all situations, but forgiveness makes the person feel at ease. Over and over, God keeps providing opportunities for reconciliation. In the story, Joseph told his brothers, don't be afraid. Why, you meant to harm me, but God turned it around for my good, because God had a plan even in your mess. There are times we are going through, we're sitting here, we're struggling with the spirit of unforgiveness. But even in that, God is able to turn it around and do something wonderful. Because there are some of us, if it wasn't for the situation, we wouldn't seek God. If it wasn't in the situation, we wouldn't know how strong God has made us. While the devil could use people closest to you to destroy you, but leaning on God, we could realize that God has given us strength to go through things like without him, we could never go through on our own. The other thing I want to point out in the story of Joseph and his brother is that forgiveness helps the offender to forgive themselves. That's a hard one. Forgiveness helps the offender to forgive themselves, because sometimes we have a hard time forgiving ourselves, especially if we are trying to be sincere Christians. We may have been forgiven, but sometimes we have a hard time letting go. because we can believe we hurt somebody to the point that we hurt them. One of the best examples of that is Jesus letting Peter know that he was forgiven, even after Peter betrayed him. Let me share this quote with you from the book Acts of the Apostles. It says, when we study the divine character in the light of the cross, we see mercy, we see tenderness, we see forgiveness blended with equity and justice. We see in the midst of the throne, one bearing his hands and his feet, his side, marks of the suffering endured to reconcile us to God. We see a Father, infinite, dwelling in light of that is unapproachable, yet receiving us to himself through the merits of his Son, Jesus Christ. The cloud of vengeance that threatened only misery and despair, and the light reflected from the cross revealed in the writing of God, live, sinner, live. Yeah, ye penitent, believing souls, live. I have paid a ransom. God has paid a ransom to allow us to give us access to life, to give us access to salvation. But yet, in our attempt to seek vengeance, to hold somebody back, refusing to forgive, in fact, we are choosing death while God is offering us life. If our worship experience is lacking, maybe this is why. The parable of the unforgiven servant in Matthew 18, 21 to 35, notice that it says the one who ended up in prison was the unforgiven servant. This, in many ways, unforgiveness has devastating health issues. What's sad is those of us who have received God's word and know the message, we have a harder time forgiving than those outside the church. Yeah. While doing a quick research, I was looking, there was this lady in Iraq. Her son was brutally murdered by somebody over there. When the person was getting ready to be sentenced, she was interceding on behalf of that person so that they give that person, they don't execute that person. But yet there are people who call themselves Christian, Christ-like, who refuse to forgive. And often for something much lighter. There are some of us, we are in a house with somebody, but there's no peace because we refuse to forgive for something minor. You left the toilet seat up. We refuse to forgive somebody. When we really ponder and think about it, like, is it really worth like you, your health, even your life? Because refusing to forgive. What is forgiveness? This is from the Mayo Clinic. It says forgiveness means different things to different people, but in general, it involves intentional decision to let go resentment and anger. That act that hurt or offended you might always be with you, but working on forgiveness can lessen the act's grip on you. It can help free you from the control of the person who harmed you. Sometimes forgiveness might even lead to feelings of understanding, empathy, and compassion for one who hurt you. Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting or excusing the harm done to you. It also doesn't necessarily mean making up with a person who caused the harm. Forgiveness brings the kind of peace that allows you to focus on yourself and helps you to go on with life. Many of us, we're still stuck somewhere because we refuse to forgive. What are the benefits of forgiving someone? Letting go of grudges and bitterness can make the way for improved health and peace of mind. Forgiveness can lead to healthier relationships, improve mental health. That's a big issue. Less anxiety, stress, and hostility. Fewer symptoms of depression. Lower blood pressure. Blood pressure is a big issue in the country. So if you're battling unforgiveness, listen to the message. Stronger immune system. Improve heart health. Improve self-esteem. Why is it easy to hold a grudge? Being hurt by someone, particularly someone you love, trust, or trusted, can cause anger, sadness, and confusion. If you dwell on the hurt events or situations, grudges filled with resentment and hostility can take root. If you allow negative feelings to crowd out positive feelings, you might find yourself swallowed up by bitterness or a sense of injustice. Some people are naturally more forgiving than others, but even if you tend to hold a grudge, almost anyone could learn to be more forgiving. What are the effects of holding a grudge? If you struggle with finding forgiveness, you might bring in anger and bitterness into a new relationship experience. Become so wrapped up in the wrong that you can't enjoy the present moment. Become so depressed and irritable and anxious. That feeling adds with your spiritual beliefs. Lose valuable and enriching connection with others. You're physically present, but your mind is still in that person. You're holding resentment and bitterness. How do I move forward from a state of to a state of forgiveness? Forgiveness is a commitment to change. It takes practice to move forward. Forgiveness, you might recognize the value of forgiveness and how it can improve your life. Identify what needs of healing and who you want to forgive. Join a support group. See a counselor. Acknowledge your emotions about the harm done to you. Recognize how those emotions affect your behavior and work to release them. Choose to forgive the person who's offended you. Release control of power that the offending person and situation may have in your life. So what happens if you can't forgive? There are some situations where you can't forgive the person, but you can still forgive. The person may not be alive. I remember before I got married, I was like, you know, in a relationship with somebody. And that was a time when, you know, God was maturing me. And after I got married, like years later, I reached out to the person recognizing, because sometimes, like I said, experience is the best teacher. Sometimes, you know, you won't understand how much you hurt somebody until you yourself have gotten hurt. So I reach out and say, you know, tell her like, you know, listen, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to be better in my relationship with God. Now I recognize how much pain I've caused. She forgave me. And, you know, I was happy. Does that mean I reconciled with the person? No. Even if I wasn't married, I wasn't trying to reconcile. I was just seeking forgiveness. And sometimes that's all that matters. Being right with God and being right with people. We don't necessarily have to seek to reconcile when the reconciliation is not possible. The Bible says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgives you. Colossians 3:13. And the Hebrew word for forgiveness is said selaha. But I like the Greek word. The Hebrew word simply means like forgiveness, but it has more to do with divine forgiveness. But the Hebrew word is aphasi. It means to release, to let go. That's why I like the Greek word better, because a lot of us, like, we refuse to release somebody from our heart. That's why Jesus said when we forgive, we have to forgive from our heart. So it's not just like an emotional, because sometimes, like, you know, listen, there are times when you forgive, you may not be able to forget. However, we could choose not to remember. The more we dwell on things, the more we have a hard time letting go. Pray to God for help. My message to us is just like, as Christians, we need to learn to let go, release people from the obligation. So, in the Bible story about the unforgiven servant, 10,000 talents, one research I did says it was 236 million. 236 million. I don't know how many lifetimes you may live, you would never be able to pay that back. Okay? You know, and The servant that he refused to forgive, the 100 denarii, the 100 denarii was equivalent to 17 bucks. $17. Thank you. Think about that. He was forgiven. He was released of the debt for over 200 mil. Even if it was less in some other people's estimation, but he owed millions, millions, and he was forgiven. The king noticed that, hey, he would never be able to repay that amount. So the king had mercy on him, pitied him, and let go and forgive him, released him of that debt. But he walked out immediately after he was forgiven, ran into a fellow servant who owed him 17 bucks, caught him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe me. This is how we are sometimes with one another. Sometimes we don't even want to be in the same building with somebody who causes hurt. I'm not talking about home, I'm talking about the church. We have an uneasiness with your fellow brother or sister who did something to you. But meanwhile, what God has forgiven us it pales in comparison to what the person may have done to you. Let's be honest. Do you know what I've done? And God has forgiven me? And that's the reason why I say, like, you know, when it comes to this forgiveness thing, I have no choice but to forgive. I ask God for help to deal with the hurt. I'm not going to hold anybody hostage because I want to be connected with my Savior. So my brothers and sisters, when we're talking about some people, I'm hoping none of us here or on Zoom would have that kind of mindset saying, I'd rather die instead of forgiving somebody, or I would never forgive. There are some of us, yes, within our family, within our church family, people may not even want to hear, but never mind how they feel. But as a child of God, you take the first step. You make the effort. So God sees between you and that person. So that way your conscience is at least free. Say, like, Lord, and continue to pray for that person. Because there are some of us in our families, there's no togetherness, there's no peace, because we refuse to forgive something that happened 20 years ago. And some of us, time after time, we come to church, we hear the message over and over, but we still struggle to let go. So today, God has given us another opportunity to let go, release whoever it is that has hurt you. Accept God's forgiveness. Accept God's call, saying, like, you know, he wants you to have life and more abundantly. Amen. This is not just an imaginary thing. God loves us so much that he was not only willing to let go and release us, but he was willing to pay the ransom with his precious blood. Yes. So this is why we can be here and have this hope. So who are us to try to block somebody else out because of what they have done? Before I sit down, one thing I want to remind you too, the Bible tells us, like, then Satan entered Judas. There are sometimes people do things to you because they are under the influence of Satan. And this is a warning to each of us, because the Bible also tells us in the parable of the man that was cleansed of an unclean spirit. The unclean spirit left, but the place was left vacant. There's a danger in us not surrendering, not asking God to fill us with the Holy Spirit to occupy our hearts and our lives, and leaving our lives empty. So that way, like, you know, we leave room, we leave space for something else to come in. That's the danger we all face. If we're not constantly under the power of the Holy Spirit, we leave an opportunity for something else. So you and I, we're not above reproach. In any moment, if we're not careful, we could be used to cause harm to a brother or sister. So before I sit down, I just want to remind us when we're talking about like, I'd rather die. I hope that is not the case for any of us. I'm praying that if you've been struggling with forgiveness, that today you ask God to help you so that way it stops. And God may use you to help somebody else, especially somebody who is not here. So that way, like truly we could be children of God when we're ministering to others. There are people who come to church and they see this person, they leave. There are some people who just leave the church altogether because somebody has offended them. And the biggest challenge we have is when we neglect God's word. Because God's word tells us how we are to live and how we are to forgive one another. So my prayer for us today is that from this day forward, we will make a conscious choice to live for Christ and to be willing to forgive no matter what the offense is. Amen. Amen.